Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha
and Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
Our top goal this year is to grow our podcast audience. So if you're new here or you're an avid listener of this podcast, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, write a review, and share this episode with a girlfriend or two. All right, so we're going to start with a segment called Get Into It, and that's where we react to or respond to something that is a viral topic or something that we've seen on the internet. So we're on hiatus for a few weeks, but this topic came up, and it was Money Long, who is an R&B artist. She had that song that everybody was doing stuff to on TikTok hours and hours. And she said that some years ago, she had the opportunity to collab with Drake. And she didn't because the person she was seeing at the time, he was a little bit insecure about that. He didn't like it. And so just to like pacify him, she turned down that like major, possibly life-changing opportunity. So I just wanted to see what you think about this, Miosha. Like, have you ever turned down an opportunity because of someone who you were seeing, or has anybody in your life done that, and how did it turn out?
I can't say that I've had that experience where I've turned down something life-changing, but I have been around couples where it seems like the woman may be dimming her light a little bit, or not going after certain things, not going certain places, being around certain people out of fear of reaction of the person that she's dating.
Yeah.
And, you know, just being like a friend or the person on the outside, like you don't want to comment and say, oh girl, you know, just live your life, because obviously you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And if they haven't expressed to you that they're unhappy with it, you know, you just kind of have to be supportive and just kind of go along with it. But it is hard to watch, because especially when you're younger and, you know, you may not be at that point where you're making like big life decisions. So like your early 20s, where that's that time where you want to have flexibility, freedom, having certain experiences in life. And then you're just like watching them being connected to a person where they're like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to go here, or I can't do this, or so-and-so might feel some type of way. And a lot of it's being done out of fear for what the partner may, you know, how they may react. But then also some of it is them not maybe feeling confident that if they like achieve certain things, that that person isn't going to feel a certain way, or they're afraid of how that might change their dynamic of their relationship. Like if they're successful in a business, or they go get additional education, or they're getting promoted at work. I think we like to assume that most people's partners are supportive, but, and I think the majority are, but there are those couples out there who have that dynamic.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Obviously, she popped off, you know, down the road anyway, you know, but I do think a Drake collaboration is a big deal. I also never had this experience, thankfully. Yeah, that's a good thing that we haven't, you know, had to do this. But I did talk about one example on the Ambitious Women episode, where there was someone who in my life who kind of hinted towards stuff like that, but I didn't pay any mind. So I kind of related in that sense, like that could have been me possibly at some point, but thankfully it wasn't. I haven't heard of anybody in a dating relationship do that, but there was this like older woman who taught a class that I was in once, and she said that she had her dream opportunity come up, and she and her husband just weren't seeing eye to eye on it. Like it was something that she had wanted for a long time. She had prayed about it, but she also wanted like to make sure things were okay with her and her husband. And so after like a long thought process, she said she went ahead and gave up the opportunity and just trusted, if this is meant to be, it'll come down the road, and it'll be better under better circumstances where it wouldn't like break up my home or whatever the case might be. And years later, in her, I think like later 50s, that opportunity came again. And so I think with hers, I feel a little bit, I feel a little bit more supportive of her decision because it was within a marriage. And I do think realistically, there will be those times in a marriage. However, with money long situation, just a boyfriend, like, excuse me? And you want me to turn to Drake? Like, no, sir, I couldn't.
I think this also goes back to, I think, just how people operate within relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about it a little bit on previous episodes where, you know, as the boyfriend, or I would say maybe not engaged, but as the boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, you may not be willing to make those sacrifices, life-changing, with a person who isn't a permanent fixture in your life.
Yes.
And I talked about how there is a bit of a shift when you are married, the woman you talked about, where she heavily considered and turned down the opportunity to keep her family intact or, you know, in good standing. So,
yeah. Yeah, and the opportunity came back. But that's all we have to say on that. Definitely hit us up on Instagram and let us know what you think about that particular situation. Is it different when you're single or in a marriage? You know, does that make a difference for you or not? But we're going to get into today's topic. I know you guys have seen the title already. We're going to talk about Black women and hair in the workplace. So this particular topic was inspired by a tweet that I saw a few weeks ago. And I'm going to go ahead and read the tweet, and Miosha, I'll get your initial reaction to it and give mine. Mm-hmm. So the tweet says, "Today's microaggression. My white manager attempts to get to know me and asks me, 'So what do you do for fun besides change your hair every week? HR will be hearing from me tomorrow.'" What do you think about this thing? As Black women who we do a lot with our hair, like if you don't follow us on our Girlfriends and Goals podcast Instagram, you definitely should. We enjoy doing photo shoots and changing our hair. So I think this is the perfect topic for us. So what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, because my best friend and I are hair goals, period. Okay. But my first reaction is, oh, geez, here we go again. Somebody always commenting on Black women's, in the words of Jesse Wu, hair.
Black women's.
Okay. Yeah. And it seems to always be two extremes with these situations and interactions that we have as Black women. It's like, on one end, it's people want to make a spectacle about our hair and make it like a whole conversation and big deal. And then on the other end is like the subtle shade. There's like no in the middle, or it's rare for it to be in the middle. It's like, why can't this just be in the middle, normal interactions? Why is it either one extreme or the other? That's my first reaction.
Yeah. I understood the, oh, what do you do for fun? You know, I get that you're trying to make small talk and get to know your coworker, or in this case, like her employee, since she was the boss. But I think besides changing your hair, like, why did you even have to add that? So I found that pretty rude, because unless my appearance is interrupting business needs, there's no need to comment on it at all. And for me, it struck me as something that was she struck me as someone who was culturally inept, maybe. You know, like Black women, we change our hair for different reasons, you know? And so for someone who doesn't know me personally to step to me and say something like that, it struck me as really, really rude. And then it ties into this like stereotype that like, oh, Black people only care about their appearances. Like you see them and it doesn't matter what they have in the bank account, they're, you know, spending all their money to look good. So I think it had some of that undertone to it, which is really interesting, because like I could be putting my hair in a protective style because of my hobbies, because I enjoy hiking or I enjoy going to the gym. So it's not about me spending all of my money. It's just that I have a lot of things that I enjoy doing. And you know, this is a more convenient hairstyle for me. And if this doesn't work, or if it's like old and I need to change it, I'm going to switch to another convenient hairstyle. So yeah, those are all things that I thought about when I read her initial tweet.
Yeah, well, also when you start off, I guess a comment with, well, what do you do besides? Yeah. The tone, demeanor, all that matters. And my first thought just isn't anything positive. Yeah. Not necessarily negative, but I think there are better ways to introduce that type of conversation other than what do you do besides?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, let me push that out of the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It doesn't sound good.
And so what if that's what I like to do on my free time? Like, so what if I like to get creative with my, that's one of my favorite things to do, like every semester, like when the semester ends, especially over the summertime, that's one of the things I look forward to the most. Like, oh, I'll have more time to play in my hair, you know? So why is that brought up in such a negative way? I don't understand it. And I'm not here for it at all. But apparently there are a lot of people in the comments who had thoughts. So I figured we could read some of their responses and react to them because mm-hmm. yeah, there was kind of a mixed bag of responses here. So the first person said, let me guess, the manager is white, which she didn't have to guess because that was in the original tweet, but I digress. So she said, let me guess, the manager is white. Why not turn this into a teachable moment and educate her on Black hair? I've enjoyed many YouTube videos on the subject, highly educational, and I'm better off for it.
Well, my first reaction to that is, what is there to be educated on? Because I don't know, there was no question, there was no compliment. I'm just like, you're in the workplace, and even you taking this, oh, I'm going to get her educated stance can also go left. So we don't know the tone and demeanor of the interaction. We don't have the history of their dynamic. So yes. Just go based off of the comment, I wouldn't respond by educating my manager on the ins and outs of Black hair. Like there's a lot of other things at play here.
Right. So I start to educate her and then I'm combative, you know, like it could just go so left, and I'm just imagining the ways that it could. But I think mm-hmm. One key difference is the person who made this comment said that she educated herself. So if you educate it yourself, and if this manager wants to go and educate herself, she can do that. But to like inconvenience your subordinate at work, like I'm here to get a check and to go home, not to be a professor, you know, like I am not here to teach you. If she wanted to educate her, like if the young lady wanted to educate her, that's great. But I don't think that that's her responsibility, you know, to take time out of her work schedule and educate her boss on Black hair. So yeah, I don't think that's appropriate.
Google is your friend.
Yeah, it really is. And then like, why not turn this into a teachable moment? Like, I think when these things happen, you're like really in a state of, you don't necessarily know what to do. So your first instinct might not be, oh, I know, let me teach her. You know, like you're kind of like, wait, what? You're thrown off a little bit, you know? So, and so you run to Twitter and you tweet about it. That's what you do. Okay.
So the next one says, sounds like a genuine question with teasing, but by all means, go off. And don't we all remember the days when we could make jokes without someone getting offended?
Yeah, that one's interesting. You know how I feel about that? I feel like don't make jokes at my expense or at like my culture's expense. Actually, don't joke with me at all. Like, don't tease me if we don't have a relationship. You know, I think like a lot of the issues in these social settings could be solved by having a relationship. So for example, like if I have a friend, right, who is of another race and they're asking me, I might educate them because I have a relationship with them. We had like years in our friendship and like we have that type of, you know, rapport. But if I don't know you, don't tease me. You don't know my personality like that. You don't know if I even enjoy joking with strangers. So that's how I feel about that. Don't try to make jokes with me at all if we don't have a relationship, but definitely not at my culture's expense, you know?
Yeah, I've seen that in the workplace where I feel like people are lazy about building rapport with their coworkers.
Yes.
And, you know, because they haven't taken the time, a lot of times boundaries are being crossed. Mm-hmm. People are kind of having conversations that they don't necessarily feel comfortable with because you haven't had just time and the normal interactions with people to just get to know them. Mm-hmm. And it really is as simple as, well, hey, what'd you do this weekend? You ask a person a couple times, then you'd see like, oh, they went paddleboarding. Oh, they went to the movies. Then you'd hear over time that they do other things or maybe not. It's the same response. I braided my hair.
Okay. Like, I don't even like joking like that. What do you mean? Why are you talking to me? But yeah. Okay.
And as far as, you know, it being a genuine response with a little bit of teasing, like, yeah, I have heard like similar comments, but like with other things. So I had a coworker who was really into fitness and working out and, you know, they would be meal prepping, always at the gym. And I've had another coworker say like, oh, well, what do you do besides working out? Mm. But I think the difference though, is obviously tone, context, history. And then also Black women, we have just such a unique history in terms of our hair, acceptance, appreciation, and we've been bullied and in some instances shamed for our hair. So, yes. You know, a lot of us are just tired of having these conversations. So it's not just about the one joke, the one interaction. It's the culmination of, unfortunately, something that a lot of Black women have in common is having people make a spectacle about our hair in really in settings where it really shouldn't even be a thing because no one's talking about anybody else's hair.
Yeah. And, you know, to that point that you made about, what do you do besides work out? Like you, it seems like that person who said that knows that the coworker enjoys working out. Like they know that that's a thing that they do outside of work. So they've like seen them do it enough or maybe post about it enough to where it's like, okay, I know this person does that in their free time. So are there like other interests that you have? And so I think the tone there is much different as opposed to, you know, asking your subordinate who, you know, from the tweets that I read, this girl had just started the job recently. So I think there's a difference in asking someone who's your subordinate that when you don't even know if that's what they enjoy doing outside of work.
Right.
Yeah. So I think this next one is the perfect transition because it says, if you change your hair a lot, she could have been referencing that. And the girl, the original tweeter, said, I've been at this job less than 3 months and changed my hair once.
Yeah, I would say that it probably wouldn't have mattered much if she changed her hair more or less often. I mean, I think regardless, people always find a way. Like I've seen where people who don't change their hair that much, people still will bring up, oh, your hair is this or your hair is that, whether it's them inquiring. And sometimes it is just from a genuine curious place, but they always find a way to bring it up.
Mm. Yeah, I think the only way to reference it is by saying, oh, I like your hair or your hair is cool. Or like I mentioned, if it's like interfering with the business needs, you know, like I know at certain places like David's Bridal, like you can only wear certain colors, like muted colors. I don't know if it's different now, but like you can only wear muted colors. So like if someone came in wearing red, that's interfering with the business needs because we have a uniform that we have a color scheme that we have to, you know, adhere to. But I don't think hair, mm-hmm. you know, depending on this work that was that type of a scenario. I don't think this was that type of scenario at all. So I think the only way that I would think it's acceptable to reference it would be just saying, oh, your hair is cool, or I like your hair. Period. Yeah. End of story.
Give a compliment. Yeah. So we've talked a lot about how, you know, this conversation can make Black women feel uncomfortable. And most times than not, probably the conversation shouldn't be had in the workplace unless you've built that rapport with the coworker or subordinate. So for this young lady, do you think that she should go to HR? Because this seems to be like something that was heavily debated on in the comments. A lot of people are like, no, she's being too sensitive. Oh, you know, she should let it go. Oh, no, I would be in there on Monday morning to give them my feelings on it. What do you think?
You know, I have feelings. I don't know. I'm going to be like you on this one. I can't decide if she should or shouldn't. I think there are like pros and cons to it. So HR is there to protect the company. So that's where I'm like, oh, I don't know if she should mention it. Like, I feel like we know, you know, that it's something that could make her and other women who come behind her uncomfortable. But because HR is there to protect the company, I don't know if they might see her as a problem if she did report it. So that's like a con. I think if she did go to HR, I might like tell her to downplay it a little bit and be like, oh, I just want this to be documented. It's not a big enough deal to like say something to her or anything like that. But, you know, I just wanted it in my file, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, if there weren't another Black woman in HR, I would think twice, just because I don't think that's an experience that's shared across the board among women in general, that that's something that I could trust that other cultures would understand. And I think like even the responses to the tweet like showed me that, you know? So I think if there's not another Black, I'm honestly, even if there is, she might think it's not a big deal and be the ops, you know? We never know. But I think like, that would give me a little bit more comfort. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it could go either way. You'd want to document it to like establish a pattern. If there is one, then you've already like documented the first thing, but then HR could see you as a problem. They're going to be like, oh, is she going to come to us for every little thing? So it's a dangerous game.
Yeah. I wouldn't say something to HR initially, unless it was combined with a bigger issue. But I would go to the manager and have a conversation about it. She had recently started. So I would give the manager the opportunity to kind of set the tone right, how things are going to be going forward. Yeah, I would only go to HR if I've already gone to her, addressed it, it became a reoccurring issue. Unfortunately, in these like corporate settings, you, assuming that's what she's in, I don't know, but you just have to be mindful and strategic, especially as a Black woman, on, you know, how you use those resources, you know, to your advantage or disadvantage.
I would be scared to talk to the manager too, just because of what I said like earlier. Like, I don't want to bring that to the manager and then be seen as like combative or, you know, problematic in any way. Yeah, this is someone who I still have to work with every single day. I would wonder how that might bite me. So unfortunately, it's like, maybe she should just stay silent. It's a really delicate situation, you know? So I don't know if that could backfire too, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it could. And you definitely wouldn't want to go at it from a combative way. And depending on the demeanor of the manager, this is where you may have to put on your acting skills.
Yeah.
And pull out those
Oscars. Get that Oscar, girl.
You know, get to treble it, you know. Tug on those emotions. Sometimes in those situations that can get you more progress from the I'm hurt side of things versus you're not going to be doing this and that to me.
Mm-hmm. Have you had one of these experiences at work, like where someone has made a comment about your hair or anything like that?
So I haven't had anything this bold at work, but I have had people make comments about my hair. So on YouTube, if y'all who are watching, you see I have sister locks. I've had them for over a decade at this point. So my hair is always the same, but I can style it different. But because it's not like a very common hairstyle, I do get a lot of questions from everyone about my hair. And there have been times where I'm just like, why are you asking me this? Like, this is not the time or place. But I've kind of gotten used to it, but it's always, for the most part, been from like a complimenting side of things. Before I was locked, I will say that I did have more of those interactions of people being, I just think really dramatic about my hairstyles, unnecessarily dramatic. So yeah, I can't say that it's happened recently, but I think that's just based off of my current hairstyle, but I've seen it happen to other people. It is just, it's irritating to watch it because in the moment you don't want to jump in. You're just like, I'm gonna mind my own business. Especially like I saw once at like, it was a like client conference type of thing. Mm-hmm. And a client made a comment about another Black woman's hair and was like, oh, your hair is different again. But it was like in front of everyone. I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, and I was younger at the time. In the moment, I just kind of looked on, and I could tell she was, I don't want to say embarrassed, really irritated, just because it's like, why?
Yeah, there was this tweet that went viral. It might have been since the pandemic. I don't even know now, but I don't know, what is time? But there was this like young intern. She looked to be an intern, right? She was very young and she wore her fro out. And you saw all the like people who had been at the company for some time, like, oh my gosh, Grace. I think her name was Grace. I don't know why I feel like her name was Grace and why I would remember that, but we're gonna call her Grace. They were like, oh, Grace has her hair out. And they were all like literally like playing in her hair. And yeah, so I don't know who was recording it. Maybe the other Black person in the room, I don't know. But it went viral. And of course, like a lot of Black women were talking about it because she was so much younger than everybody. So maybe she hadn't gotten the courage at this stage to say, hey, can you not do that to me? She was just trying to maybe fit in with the culture of the company. Mm-hmm. Who knows what the narrative was? Either way, it was something that was triggering for a lot of Black women on Twitter who were responding to it. So I have had a moment at work. Mm-hmm. I had a can I touch it moment, and I too was really young. So I wore my hair in a twist out, which around this time, that's how I would wear my hair. I mean, still sometimes, but that's how I would wear my hair consistently, right? If not that, then in braids or whatever. And so I think I might have had braids when I started at this company. So the first time I saw the lady, I would have had braids. And then one time I saw her and I had a twist out and I was like, oh, hey, I'm not going to say her name, obviously, but I was like, oh, hey, you know, just because I knew her. And she said, hey, to me back. And she's like, oh my gosh, look at your hair. It's amazing. And I was like, oh, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And she's like, how do you get it like that? She's like, do you use some type of like device? And I was like, no, I just twist it with my hands. I was confused because I was like, oh yeah, I twist it. She's like, do you use some type of device? I'm like, no, I just twist it with my hands. I was wondering like, what kind of device would I use? But they do have those like twisty things. They're not for kinky hair though. I wouldn't trust it with my kinky hair. I end up bald headed. I'm like, I can't. But yeah, so she asked that and I told her and she was like, oh, can I like see how it feels? And I was like, okay. It was so, I had to have been like 18, 19 at the time, but it was just such a strange line of questioning that, you know, you don't expect because you're a Black woman and you know how somebody would get their hair like that or whatever. So I think it just threw me off guard that she was asking if there was some type of device that I would have used to get my hair like that. But anyway, so I explained to her how to get a twist out, even though she probably would never be able to accomplish it, child.
I do have one question, though. Mm-hmm. If you saw someone with a very unique hairstyle, would you yourself go up to them and react that way, ask them to touch it? Mm. Would you just look on and be like, oh, that's different?
If it were you, so I have a cousin who also has locks, and she did a style that I had never seen with her locks. And because she's my cousin, I want to make that clear. I was like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? You know, I do my own hair and stuff. So I'm literally trying to figure out, is that something I can accomplish with my hair, even though it's not locked? And so I was very curious about it. But again, if that were someone on the street, I would just be like, oh, her hair is really nice. And maybe I would have YouTubed what I thought the style was called, you know, and figure it out that way. So only if it's someone who I'm very close with, like you, when you had your fishtail braid. I mean, I know how to do a fishtail braid, so I didn't do this with you then, but I thought that looked really cool. And that's something that I would have asked you about, that I would have wanted to like examine up close. But yeah, only if I have a relationship. If I don't have a relationship with the person, I just won't know what that hairstyle is. And I just won't know how to do that hairstyle unless YouTube made that information available to me. Would you?
Yeah. No, I always give compliments.
Yeah.
Say, oh, I love your hair. And I just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have had people touch my hair though, the longer it got, not at work, but in public, personal situations. Mm-hmm. Once your hair, I think, is locked in at a certain length, people just, they can't.
I had a friend say this to me the other day. He's like, I showed my fiance your hair. He's a black guy. And he's like, I showed my fiance your hair and she is just obsessed with it. I was like, oh, for real? He's like, yes. And I'm obsessed with it too. And he's like, my ex-wife used to have, you know, hair like yours. And I just always was in it because I love, you know, hair, but obviously, you know, I can't just be all up in your hair. So we just look at pictures of it. And so I thought it was really sweet, but like, you know, you really have to, and he and I, like if he went to touch my hair, I would probably be like, okay, because I've been around him so long and I know him, but he, you know, set that boundary for himself and was like, I'm not going to do that because especially in the space that I know him from, what if someone else saw him do that and was like, oh, we can do it too. It's like, then I would have to check somebody. So yeah, I thought that was really cool that he checked himself and I didn't even make it an issue for me, right? I don't even have to think about that. So in the comments, there was a whole other thread that was started because someone responded, I guess after seeing all the comments of people being a little bit obtuse, and he said, the problem in all caps, he wanted the smoke. He said, the problem for those that don't see it is that hair has zero to do with work, yet she's being forced to answer about it from her manager that clearly doesn't care about what she does for fun, but only wants to be nosy and shady about her outward appearance. And he goes on, like I said, he started his own thread. He goes on to talk about like the history of Black hairstyles. He talks about the unprofessionalism that comes with it. And, you know, he responds to people who have questions as well. But of course, because it's Twitter and people got time, people were responding to him too. So I want to know how you would respond. So not just reacting to these people, but how would you respond if you were a Twitter user and you saw somebody commenting these things, okay? So the first one is, when you're at work, you're only allowed to be asked questions about work. That's how I think the person said it. The whole voice.
Yeah, for the most part. Unless you've done the work to build a relationship with me. Yeah. So for the most part, yes, especially in the beginning.
Yeah. That's what the person responded to. He was like, yes, period. That's it. Okay. The next person said, I don't get why it's a microaggression though. It might be rude if you think anyone at work asking about hobbies is rude, but I imagine if you change your hair, someone might notice. And then this person says, I want to understand, but I know generally asking is a bad move, not your job, I know.
Yeah, that's the thing with microaggressions. You know, they're under the surface, they're subtle, they're never going to be right in your face. And it's hard to put into words because context and demeanor, body language, all of that is at play. Mm-hmm. But what I will say though, because you're in a work setting, most people aren't outwardly aggressive. It's not going to be all in your face. It is micro. So unless you're on the receiving end of it, you know, I don't always expect for people to fully wrap their heads around the microaggressions that we as Black women can experience in the workplace. So,
Yeah, I think I like that this person understands that asking generally is a bad move and that it's not our jobs. So I'm glad that they acknowledge that. But again, like this girl, the original tweeter had addressed that, you know, she changed her hair once. And I think it, again, was just the tone. Oh, what do you do for fun besides? Because you don't know what I do for fun. You don't know if this is something that I do for fun. So you just really have to chill. The next one, this one bothered me a lot. So this person who's from another minority group says, my supervisor told me to quit and my boss told me I was only hired for a diversity quota. This girl's manager seems nice. Whew. Now, I think for me, a couple of things. One, it brought to light that, you know, how people do this like whole people of color term and generalize. This tweet is the reason why I do not like that term. I don't think like all minorities need to be grouped together in that way because of the diversity of our experiences. And so if I had to vote, I would vote to get rid of the POC term. I would. but that's just me, you know, don't at me. I just think it's something that serves no purpose really for those who would be considered persons of color. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think this bothered me because it's like two things can be true. Your supervisor and your boss, like those people are jerks. That's very true. And that's a problem if they said to you, oh, you need to quit, or you are only hired for a diversity quota. Those things are wrong and do need to be dealt with. That doesn't mean they're worse or better than the microaggressions that we might face, you know, just because they're micro and just because they don't directly talk about diversity quota or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I think both things are wrong and both things need to be addressed. So you coming in and pretty much like minimizing this experience because you've experienced something different is a bad move. And I'm disappointed in the person who tweeted this. I know I'm not your mom, but if she saw this, I hope she tells you she's disappointed.
Yeah. And clearly, you know, given that we have to have things like the Crown Act, like clearly Black women and our hair and experiences is something that is unique. So there's no need to be in competition about the struggles.
Okay. There are many struggles. Okay. We don't need to compete. Mm-hmm. There's room for all of it. Okay. And then the last one, I didn't even really say how I would respond, but that's how I would respond. I would say I'm disappointed in you for tweeting this on Beyonce's internet. Okay. The last one, every job I've ever had in my life, someone has commented on my appearance. It's always felt like they were in awe of me or jealous or paying a compliment. If you're interesting looking and someone is boring looking, that's just how it is.
Which very well may be true.
Okay.
However, as Black women, like I said, our experiences with people making a spectacle, commenting on our hair or the microaggressions is a unique experience. So of course, you have those people who show up in the workplace and they may look eclectic or, you know, maybe don't fit the typical appearance of how everyone else at the workplace looks, but it's not something typically that's an ongoing conversation. Yeah. And from my experience, those conversations are typically addressed one-on-one. Like if they're like testing the boundaries on appropriate workplace attire, like I've seen that where people come in and certain things aren't appropriate or fitting within the dress code.
Yeah.
And, you know, but they have those conversations behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. And it's more like, oh, this is against policy, not just, oh, this is eclectic and different. And I've yet to hear it be a conversation in like a business setting in front of everyone.
Yeah. I would say to this person, don't tell me what to take as a compliment. Like you can't tell me, you know, saying to someone, oh, you, so Africans do this thing where they think, let me speak for my people, Liberians do this thing where,
I know, don't you get us in trouble.
Okay. You know, I mean, I know other West African people who do it, but not going to speak for anybody else. But where it's like you put on any type of weight, and Black Americans do this too, where you put on any type of weight and they're like, oh, you put on a build, you put on some weight, like they comment on it. And a lot of times in like when I was growing up, that would be a compliment, like, oh, you put on a little weight, you know, that to someone in Liberia might be a compliment sometimes. But if you take that like internationally, people might be very offended. So you can't say to, it's not, compliments aren't one size fit all. Like you can't say to one person, oh, you should be happy that you put on weight because I think it looks good on you, when they are insecure about it. So you can't, don't tell me what to take as a compliment. Don't tell me, oh, it's because you're interesting looking. Okay, well, let them be interested and silent, you know? So yeah, that's how I would respond to that person.
So do you have any final thoughts that you want to share on this topic about Black women and our hair in the workplace?
I think dealing with microaggressions, it just really sucks because it's so small that like you have this idea of like, if I say something, other people won't get it. So it's like, you're not understood. But then it's like, if you don't say something, maybe the people who are, you know, engaging in it they think it's okay. And then that behavior continues and then it affects other people. So it's almost like a, you can do it and there are consequences. If you do it, there are consequences. If you don't do it, there are consequences. So it's really a tough spot to be in. And I don't know, maybe our best bet is just to make TikToks and tweets about it and hope that they see it or hope that somebody shares it with them. But yeah, that's why I think it's a sticky situation. Like the fact that we even have to go back and forth about, oh, is this HR worthy or not? When we have things like the Crown Act, it shows like how tough of a position these types of things put you in. So yeah, it just really sucks.
Yeah. I just add that as Black women, we have so much to deal with on all fronts. And when we do something as simple as fixing our hair, like it's very basic. This isn't anything out of the norm. Most people have self-grooming that they need to tend to before they leave the house. It's something that all women do. This is nothing groundbreaking. But I will say the styles that we pull together are.
Okay.
But, you know, it just sucks that, you know, something that simple is made a mockery of or a spectacle. And it's just people put the worst times, you know, just to have unnecessary discussions that are just really inappropriate unless you've taken the time to build that rapport and relationship. And for the people who don't get it, they're like, oh, why is this even a topic? Mm-hmm. I would just say it's not that we as Black women are losing sleep or just like all in a ruckus about it, but it's just more of an annoyance that this is just one more thing that we have to deal with on top of all the other things. And as we saw from some of the comments, the first expectation is that we're supposed to explain, educate, give grace, grin and bear it in these situations, among the other things that we have to kind of try to make it through in the workplace. So I don't necessarily expect for people to fully get it, because like you said, it is micro, it's under the surface. And sometimes I almost wish that it was more in your face. Because then you could just really address it.
You see that? Did you see?
Okay. Sometimes it can make you feel like you're crazy. Like, wait, am I the only one?
All right.
Who saw this or who heard this? But I would just say, you know, for Black women, you know, this is unfortunately something that we all have in common. It doesn't matter where you are on the U.S. soil, you're probably going to run into this type of interaction or experience at the workplace. But just know that thankfully, like, we're in a time where we can have these discussions openly. Not everyone's going to agree, but at least over here at Girlfriends and Goals, these are the type of conversations that we're willing to have. So hopefully y'all have enjoyed this episode. Y'all come over to our Instagram where we'll be talking about this over the next week, because we definitely want to hear y'all's feedback and opinion on this. Like, this is why we pick these types of topics.
Yes. And also you should follow us so you can see us slay every hairstyle in the book. No, I'm just kidding. But no, seriously, thank you guys so much for tuning in. You've heard our thoughts on this topic. We'd love to hear your thoughts as well. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals Podcast, where we'll continue this conversation over the next week. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. And don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time, bye.
Bye.